So last week, we focused our attention primarily on what we are named as a people by God, the identity we carry according to God's naming of us, not the things this world may call us. As we carry out our lives in this world, if we're not careful, it's possible we could become what we're called. If we're told we're ugly or stupid or worthless, we may begin to believe that. But God has claimed us and named us, and so we cannot forget that our identity rests there on Jesus, our chief cornerstone. To remind us who we are and who we're called to be, 1 Peter 2 tells us, "Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." I spoke last week about the Exodus and how the Israelites had been wandering in the wilderness hoping to find their place, and they had to be reminded that they were God's people. The Christian community that likely originally gathered to hear this story from 1 Peter centuries ago had not been wandering in the desert like the Israelites. They lived amidst the chaos and power-hungry world of the Roman Empire. The wilderness these early Christians wandered through was, in a way, much like ours. They sought to live out their Christian lives in a watching world of people who had not all heard of the mighty acts of God. Just the same, we seek to be Christians among people who have yet to find their place, who may have begun to believe that they are the ugly things that they've been called. Are you picturing someone now? After the Israelites had been delivered by God, God's people needed a way to offer praise to this God of mighty acts, to give thanks for all that God had done for them. God chose Aaron as priest to administer the sacrifices and be a representative man of holiness for the people. But today we've heard from 1 Peter that all Christian people are called to be a priestly and holy community on behalf of the world. One of my old pastors used to say to the church, "You are all ministers. I'm not the only one." When I first heard this from him, it was surprising, hearing this truth that was actually from 1 Peter. When I heard it, while I found it slightly annoying, because I didn't at all want to be a minister, God will show you. I also found it compelling as I sat in a room full of people who didn't look much like any minister I knew. But according to 1 Peter, all of us are chosen for this high calling. We talked about the identity piece from our scripture last week, and we said that this week we would focus on what that calls us to do. Since we're called a holy priesthood, you may be wondering what that means for us. Let me clear up some possible misconceptions. First of all, being called a chosen people, a royal or holy priesthood, is not just a merit badge. It's not our crowning achievement, crossing the finish line kind of moment. Our identity as a holy priesthood is established by God's own choosing of us, not by any special thing we've done. So this is cause for humility, not arrogance. Secondly, we've been named a holy priesthood for a reason. This identity that we've received from God is a great gift that comes with responsibility. We're not called to offer animal sacrifices to give thanks, but we are called to offer ourselves sacrificially in faithful obedience. From what I know, the most prominently used word in the New Testament for minister is most accurately defined as servant. Some megachurch pastors or televangelists may need to be reminded of this, just as you or I may need that reminder. The section immediately following our scripture for today is titled, Live as Servants of God. So the scripture is clear that this gift comes with responsibility. Author Shane Claiborne tells a story about when he first began really committing himself to being a Christian. He says, I know there are people out there who say, my life was such a mess. I was drinking, partying, sleeping around, and then I met Jesus and my whole life came together. God bless those people, he says. But for me, I had it together. I used to be cool. I was prom king, for heaven's sake. Then I met Jesus and he wrecked my life. The more I read the gospel, the more it messed me up, turning everything I had believed in, everything I had valued and hoped for, upside down. Jesus wrecked his life, as he says, because he began committing himself to serving Jesus, and that's not always all that glamorous in the eyes of this world. Being this holy priesthood requires offering our whole selves in humble service as an offering of thanksgiving. As we rest our identity on Jesus, that chief cornerstone, and allow ourselves to be built into a spiritual house, as living stones, we take our design from Jesus, and he was the ultimate example of servanthood. If you're still wondering what it means that we're named a holy priesthood, the answer is, be a holy priesthood. 1 Peter says that you are chosen as a holy priesthood in order that you may proclaim God's mighty acts. In words or in actions, we are to tell the world of the night and day difference God has made for us. In the Gospel of John, there's a story of a Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well. She had had 5 different husbands and was now with a 6th man. She was so known in her community that she didn't even go to the well at the same time as the other women. But Jesus sat with her and spoke with her in love. Something began to change in her. She began to see herself in a completely different way. Instead of one living in shame and fear, she began to be someone that wanted to tell anyone and everyone about the good news of Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus had done for her, she couldn't help but tell the world her story. In Luke chapter 19, the disciples were shouting and telling the world about Jesus, and the Pharisees seemed to be getting sick of it and said to Jesus, "Can you please tell them to stop?" And Jesus simply responds, "If they were silent, the stones would cry out." We live in a watching world of people who do not all know what God has done for them. We ourselves wander in a busy and chaotic world among people who do not all have a place, who may have begun to believe that they're the ugly names that they've been called. Do you have someone in mind? Get a pen. Write a name. When I was little, I began to sort of establish a picture of the person I really was from my mom and my dad first, and then from my church family. Because of the people of God who took seriously their call to deal with me humbly, not arrogantly, to tell that good news story of God in their actions as much as in their words, what I began to learn was that I am not the things this world may call me, but instead I'm blessed and loved by God. Growing up, my dad tucked me in most nights, and then he'd tell me a story, just as his father did for him. Luckily, before Grandpa died, we got him to record all those old stories he used to tell, some that have been told now for generations. I imagine my daughter will begin to learn some of those same old stories. And as I see her being passed around this church and slowly growing up here in this church full of ministers, full of servants, of living stones. From you, she will begin to learn who she is and who she's called to be. There's a made-up story about Jesus returning to heaven after his journey on earth. Angels gathered around to hear all about what had happened. And so Jesus explained that he lived among people, shared good news, and expressed his love. When he had finished, the archangel Michael asked Jesus, "So what happens now?" And Jesus explained, "I left behind a handful of faithful men and women. They will tell the story. They will express love as I have." The slightly amusing ending to this made-up story is that after Jesus had finished, the archangel Michael then asked Jesus, "So what's plan B?" Church, there is no plan B. We are the church, a holy priesthood, named and called to tell of what God has done for us, to tell that good news story of God. The reality is that there are those in this world who have yet to find their place, who may have begun to believe that they're the ugly things they've been called. We are the church, a holy priesthood. May it be so. Amen.